All right, girls, good morning. Let's begin. Two lines up from the bottom. Chaf Dalit Amud Beis. Amar Rav Huna, Haisa Talisa Chagura Lo Amasnov, Mutar Likros Kriyashma. So Rav Huna said if a person's talis, a person's cloak, was tied around his waist, he's permitted to say Kriyashma. Tangin Ami Hachi, Haisa Talisa Shal Begit Vishal Or Vishal Sak Chagura Amasnov, Mutar Likros Kriyashma. So the Braisa also said that if his talis was tied around, right, a talis of material or of leather, sackcloth, was gone ahead and tied around his waist, so he's permitted to say Kriyashma. Top of Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. Ava litfila achi chasa es libo. But this is only for kriyashma. For shmona esrei, one would be required to go ahead and cover his heart as well. Top line of chaf hey amud aleph. Chaf hey amud aleph. Thank you, Stephen. Va'amar Rav Huna shachach v'nichnas betfilin lebeis akisei. If a person entered into the bathroom. Person forgot and entered into the bathroom with tefillin on, manicho yodo ale, and he puts his hand on top of them, ad sheyigmar, until he finishes taking care of his needs. So both I see the Rashi points out over here, the Gemara is presumably referring to the shel rosh, because remember, every time we speak about tefillin with beis akisei, the assumption is the shel yad is covered. So if the shel yad is covered, it's not problematic. The shel rosh is exposed. So the Gemara says over here, if you entered into the bathroom with tefillin shel rosh, you go ahead and you cover it until you're finished. So the Gemara says, "Achi yigmor sakadaitcha," until you finish. Eliki the Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, "Achi yigmor amud rishon." So Nachman Yitzchak says, "No, it doesn't mean until you literally finish, but rather it means until there's the first amud rishon means the first column, which refers to the first discharge of urine. So after the person discharges the first stream of urine, a person stops." Goes out, removes the tefillin, then comes back in and finishes up. So the Gemara says, so why don't you just stop immediately? Why are you permitted to go ahead and even finish the first column? Why not just stop in the middle? Omer, amud hachozer, maybe it's adum lideha darkun. Because the Gemara of Shimon Amiel says like this, that if a person goes ahead and needs to, amud harishon over here refers to defecating. If a person needs to defecate, and literally holds themselves back, that could go ahead and bring a person to hidarkon. Hidarkon is a disease. Rashi points out it results in a distended stomach. Silon achozer, similarly if a person holds back from urinating, maybe it's ha'adonli de yarkon. It brings a person to yarkon. Yarkon literally is jaundice. The point that Rav Shimon Gamliel is making is that holding yourself back from defecating or from urinating could actually have detrimental health effects. Therefore, the Gemara Paskins, you could finish the first stream, but after that you have to go out. Itmar. Soa al bisoro, o yodo manechas veisakise. If a person has some kind of excrement on their body, on their person, or their hand is extended into the beisakise, their hand is extended into the bathroom. In both of these cases, obviously, we presuppose that there is no odor. Because if there's an order, we've already spoken about the idea that one is not permitted to go ahead and recite Shema or Tefillah under those circumstances. We'll revisit that topic now. But let's say again, a person knows there is some excrement on their body, or the hand is extended into the Beis Akisei. Rav Huna Amar Motil Likros Kriya Shema. Rav Huna says you are permitted to say Shema. Rav Chista Amar Asur Likros Kriya Shema. Rav Chista says you can't. Amar Rava, my time with Rav Huna. Rav says, why does Rav Huna say that you're permitted to go ahead and say Kriya Shema? Dechsiv, kol haneshama tahalil ko. So David HaMelech says in Tehillim, every soul shall praise you. So the Gemara darshans that, or I should say, Rav Huna darshans that pasuk to say, bechol neshima tahalil ko. Or in other words, as long as neshima means breath, as long as you can't smell any kind of odorous odor, right? So as long as you can't smell the excrement, as long as you can't smell the Beis HaKisei, then you're permitted to go ahead and say Kriya Shema. Rav Chista Amar, see, even though it's on your person, as long as you can't smell it, it's okay. Rav Chista Amar Asa Likros Kriya Shema. Rav Chista says, you can't say Shema, why? My time to Rav Chista, Dechsiv, Kolat Smosai Tomar Nehashem Mikamocha. Again, also quoting the Pasuk from Tehillim, David HaMelech says, my entire body praises you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that in order to daven, in order to say Shema, the entire body must be in a state of preparedness. Itmar, Reach Rashi Yesh Lo Iker. So now the Gemara begins another discussion. If you have a bad odor, that has a source. Now, what does that mean? So we'll discuss that there are two different types of bad odors. There's an odor that ultimately comes, let's say, from excrement that's present, versus, let's say, a ruach ra, a negative odor that comes from flatulence, which the assumption is it's not rooted in any kind of physical source. So ruach ra sheyesh lo ikar. So let's say now you're talking about excrement, where there's a negative odor, a foul odor that comes from something. Rav Huna amar marchik dal ramas kari kriya shema. Rav Huna says you have to distance yourself from the source, and you say Shema. Rav Chisda remarked that Amos imakom sheposak areach the korek kriya Shema. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, says no, it's not enough to distance yourself dalad amos from the source of the odor, but rather what you must actually go ahead. You must go ahead and distance yourself for amos from the place where the odor ends. So from the place that the odor ends, you must then go another four amos. So the Gemara says Tanya kavase de Rav Chisda. We have a brisa that supports Rav Chisda that says that it's not just enough to move four amos away from the excrement, but you actually have to go ahead and move four amos away from where the odor ends. So the brisa says, "Lo yikra adam kriyashma, lo kineget savas adam, soas adam, velo kineget soas klavim. Person should not say shma opposite human excrement, human waste, or dog waste. Velo kineget soas chazirim, not opposite pig waste." Below can I get to us tarnagolim or chicken waste? Below can I get to us ashpa or opposite waste that's found in a garbage dump? Recha ra, because who has a negative smell, foul smell? V'imhaya makom gavoa asar tzvachim. But if it was a place that's higher than 10 tzvachim, o namoch asar tzvachim, or has a depth of 10 tzvachim, yoshev bitzido v'kore kriyashma. Well, so the idea is that an area of 10 tefachim, right, has a height or a depth of 10 tefachim is considered a separate rishus. Because it's considered a separate rishus, one would be permitted, yoshe b'tzidah v'kari kriyashma, one would be permitted to go ahead and sit by the side of this pit or elevation and recite shema, v'im lav, but if it's not a distance of, if it's not in an area of 10 tefachim, marchik melo enov. A person will want to distance themselves from this as far as the eye can see. The Rabbi say, when the Gemara quotes this brisa in support of Rav Chisda, so obviously kemalo einav according to Rav Chisda is not literal. It doesn't literally mean it has to be out of sight, but it seems to reinforce this idea that it's not just enough to move dalet amos from the source of the odor, but rather what? One must move an additional space, what Rav Chisda would quantify as four amos from the place that the odor ends. Ve'imlav marchik melo einav v'chein l'tfila. And similarly, when it comes to prayer, reach ra sheyesh lo ikar. If you have a foul odor that emanates from a defined source, marchik dalet amos mimakom hareach v'korei kriyashma. So this seems to explicitly support Rav Chisda that if it's a reach ra that comes from a tangible source, you distance yourself four amos from the place where the odor ends, and then you could say shema. So you can't see it. Can't see it. Amar Rava, less hilchosa kiha mas nisa, elo kiha. So Rava said the halacha does not follow this Mishnah, rather follows the following one. This sanya, lo yikra adam kriyashma, lo kineget soas adam, velo kineget soas chazerim, velo kineget soas klavim, bizman shenasan oros lesochan. So interestingly enough, Rava says that the halacha doesn't follow the previous brisa, but rather follows this one. That this particular brisa that we just read says that the only time that animal excrement is problematic is when you put hide into it for tanning. Meaning, how do you tan hide? It's good to know. If you ever take up a hobby? How do you tan hide? You put the hide in animal excrement. That's how you do it. So apparently, that intensifies the foul odor of the excrement even more. The hides couple. So now what Rava is saying is, when does animal excrement pose a problem? Only when the hides have been put into it for tanning purposes. He says, Bo'o minim Rav Sheshas. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech olam shehakol miyad dvaro. Bo'o minim Rav Sheshas. Reach ra she'ein lo ikar mahu. So they ask Rav Sheshas, what do you do with a foul odor that does not emanate from a tangible source? Again, so the simplest example of that is flatulence. So how do you deal with this legabe tefila? So the Gemara says, Omer lehu, asu chazu hani tzifi debei rav. The truth is, we actually have a halacha l'maisa case of this. Look at the mats in the base medrash. Dahani ganu, vahani garasi. So apparently in the base medrash, They had mats. They had mats there. That was their equivalent of tables and chairs. So what would happen? So on the mats, you would always have in the base medrash, some people would be learning, and some people would be sleeping. Now, the concern with sleeping is that a person could pass gas without even being aware of it. So Rav Sheisha said, we have this question all the time in the base medrash. So the Gemara says, "V'hani mili b'divrei Torah." So what Rav Sheisha was trying to prove was, this happens in the base medrash all the time, and yet what? And learning goes on. Learning goes on. That would seem to be indicative of the fact that reach rosh she'in lo ikar, that ultimately when you have this odor that doesn't have a tangible source, that apparently that does not an impediment to davening. So the Gemara says, well, not so fast. Torah. It could be that Torah learning is different. That Torah learning goes on even in the presence of a negative odor. About Kriyashma, lo. But Kriyashma, which is Kabbalah's Amachu Shamayim, and certainly Tfilah, which is dialogue with God, maybe cannot go on in the presence of a negative odor. So the Gemara says, Torah lami lo amran ela dechavre. Furthermore, Divrei Torah is only true where the odor is coming from your friend. Aval didei lo. But if the odor comes from you, then not. What does that mean? So Rashi points out that Aloha Lemaisa, it's only when it comes to your friend where, obviously, you can't control what other people do. And in the Beis Medrash, if you're going to stop every single time that there's a negative odor, you're going to get very little learning done. But if you yourself are the one, ultimately, who has the odor, so you wait ultimately. Stephen, there's no Rashi from that side of the table over there, all right? But if you yourself are the one with the, odor, then you have to wait until your odor dissipates, and then you could continue to learn. No. But again, this is not a raya for our topic, because what the Gemara just put, this is only for learning. And learning might be treated in a more lenient fashion than prayer. Itmar, tsoa overas. What happens if you have literally, excrement in transit, right? Excrement in transit. So what does that mean? That it's passing by in front of you. Okay, the simplest case would be, let's say somebody's carrying a bedpan or something else right in front of you. So the shaila is, what's the status of that? So itmar tzoa overas. Abaye amar mutar likros kriyashma. So Abaye says you could say shema. Rava Amar also the cross kriyashma. Rava says you can't say shema. Now obviously what they're talking about over here is at the moment that the excrement passes in front of you, let's say you're in the middle of shema, do you have to stop or not? Abaye says you don't have to stop, you could continue. And Rava says you have to stop. So Amar Abaye mino amin Allah. Abaye says, where do I get my idea from that you could continue to say shema? So it's actually very interesting. This line, Hatame omet tachas ha'ilon v'hatahor over. Tame tahor. So this is an interesting case. Let's say a person has tzaras. Right? A person is tameh. And what happens? They're standing underneath a tree. A tree obviously creates an ohel situation. Under normal circumstances, so if you are under an ohel, if you're under the same roof with the source of tumah, ohel transmits tumah. So now the person who has tzaras is standing underneath the tree. Over, and a person who's tar passes underneath that tree. So what's the halacha? Tomei tar. The person who was tar now becomes tomei. Okay. On the other hand, tar omitachas sa'ilon. If the tar person was standing underneath the tree, the tomei over, and the tomei person passes by. So the halacha is tar. V'im amad tamei. But if the tamei person stands still, then the tar becomes tamei. Or in other words, what is Abaye trying to prove? That when you have tumah that is simply passing, that does not convey tumas ohel. So meaning, whoever is stationary under the ohel designates what's going to happen. So if the tamei person is stationary and the tar person passes by, then the tar person becomes tamei. But if the tar person is standing there and the tamei person only passes through but does not stop, the tahor person remains tahor. Sabai uses this to show that what? That you see that tumah in transit does not convey tumah. Abai therefore wants to say the same way that tumah in transit doesn't convey tumah, so too, tsoa, excrement in transit also doesn't doesn't have the same effect, and therefore you need not interrupt your Shema. So the Gemara says the following. He also says the same thing would apply to a stone that has saraz. A stone that has saraz also transmits tumah. So the same way that if the stone is stationary and then the tar person comes under the tree, the tar person becomes tameh. But if the stone is simply moving through, then halacha lemaisa, person remains tar.
What is a tree again? It's a...
Oh, hell. This is talking about a tree with branches that overhang. So therefore, the people are both underneath the tree, which essentially serves as a roof. Roof, by definition, allows for transmission of tumah. So, va'arava... Correct. The rabba amar l'cha, hasam v'kviyus etal yemilsa, v'chsev badad yeshev mechutz l'machanei moshavo. So Rava says, that's not a good raya. Why? Because when it comes to tzaras, the Torah itself explicitly says that the transmission of tzaras tuma is based on kvius. Only is transmitted if the source of tuma is established. Because Torah itself says, but when it talks about the fact that the mitzora has to leave the camp, it says, Bode Yeshev, he will sit isolated, Bode Yeshev, michutz lemachaneh moshavo. He will be established in his domicile, in his residence, outside of the machaneh. So the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to say that the only transmission of tumas tzaras happens when there is an established domicile, an established residence, when the mitzora is kavua, tells us that transmission of tzaras only occurs if the source of tuma is fixed. When it comes to excrement of Abrahacha, v'hayom machanecha kadosh omrachman v'haleka. Here, the presence of excrement as a preclusion to reciting Shema or davening has nothing to do with the excrement being fixed in one location. What does it have to do with? It has to do with its being present. So therefore, Rava says, the fact that the excrement is what? Passing in front of you doesn't make a difference if it's fixed or not. If it's there, at least for the moment that it's there, you have to stop what you're doing until the excrement is gone. Halach l'mayis, we passing like Rav in this situation. That if there is passing excrement, or for that matter, a passing foul odor, you would have to stop what you're doing until the odor itself dissipates. Amara papa, pi chazir kitzoa. The mouth of a pig is like excrement. The assumption is that pigs are very filthy animals, so that the mouth of a pig is always assumed to be like present excrement. So the Gemara says, Pshita, that's obvious. Lo tzricha af agav de salak minara. The chiddush over here is that what? Is that even though the animal might have just come out from the river. So I might have thought the animal came out from the river, then halacha l'maaseh it's clean. Kamash on the mouth of a pig is never clean. Amar Rav Yehuda, Safek Tzoa Asura, Safek Mei Raglayim Mutarim. So now the Gemara gets into a different topic. If you have a Safek about the presence of excrement, it's Asur. Safek about the presence of urine is Mutar. So what does that mean? The case as Rashi sets it up would be that a person detects a faint odor. An odor that smells, potentially there's excrement here. So the shaila is, what does that do to your ability to dab, to your ability to say Shema, to your ability to go ahead and say Shemona Esrei? So the Gemara says like this, if it's a suffix about excrement, it's Aser. If it's a suffix about urine, it's Mutter. So Ikeda Ami, there are those who say, Amar Rav Yehuda, suffix Tzor Bebayis Muteres. So Rav Yehuda clarifies this a little bit. He says, if it's a suffix about excrement in the house, it's Mutter. Ba'ashba asura, but in the garbage dump, it's us. The assumption would be that people don't normally keep excrement in their home. Because that if it's a suffix, you could assume it's probably not excrement, as opposed to the garbage dump, where there always is human waste, and therefore a suffix there would be asur. May raglaim, however, a suffix of urine, afilu ba'ashba na'im mutarin. A suffix urine, even in the garbage dump, would be mutar. Sabala ki hadra hamnuna. The Amar Rav Hamnuna, lo asra Torah ele keneged amud bilvad. So the truth is, the Gemara says, all of this is really predicated on the statement of Rav Hamnuna. The Rav Hamnuna says, when it comes to urine, the only time that urine precludes you from davening, when we say davening, we mean Shema and Shemona Esrei, is only literally if you are opposite this a stream of urine. Uchid Rav Yonasan. Rav Yonasan Ramiksir. Rav Yonasan contrasts the two psukim. On one end, the Torah says, V'yad tia lecha michutz lamachaneh, V'yatzasa shama chutz. So on one hand, the Torah says that when you have your camp, you have to establish a place outside of the camp to take care of your needs. But the Torah doesn't seem to mandate any kind of burying of human waste. Uksiv, and yet the Torah says later on, V'yaseti yelecha. Torah says later on that what do you have to have? You have to have a shovel, which would indicate that what? That you do have to bury waste. So which one is it? Is it enough just to have a place outside of the camp where a person could relieve themselves, but it doesn't have to be buried? Or does human waste have to be buried? So the Gemara said, the Chisi says, Esecho, ha ketzad, kan bigdolim, kan biktanim. Oh, what are you mechalik with? Mechalik between gidolim and ketanim. Gidolim refers to defecating, ketanim refers to urinating. So what do you have to bury? So when it comes to urination, if you just go out of the camp, that's fine. That's why you don't have to bury anything. But if you defecate, that must be buried afterwards. Alma ketanim lo asra Torah ela kineged amud bilbad. This gives rise to Hamnuna's position, which is that when it comes to urine, urine is only problematic for tefillah purposes if you are literally opposite the stream. Ha nafula arash shari. But if the urine's on the ground already, you see that it's okay, it doesn't pose a problem for tefillah. Berabanan ha degazru buhu. And it's the rabbis who came along and were gozer regarding urine that's on the ground. And when the rabbis were gozer about urine, they only were gozer if you know for sure that there is a presence of urine, but they were not gozer about sofek. Ubivadon ad kama. So the question is now, let's say you know for sure there is a presence of urine. How much urine is probably, listen, I know it sounds like strange discussions for us, given our current hygienic practices. But just understand, we saw, you know, on Fridays and Shabbos is daf, that remember, what made something into a beis hakisei? What made a beis hakisei a beis hakisei? Somebody went to the bathroom there. So you're talking about the fact that it would not be uncommon for a person to have to sidestep human waste, I don't want to say everywhere, but quite regularly. So this was exceptionally halacha lemaisa in Zmani Gemara. So the Gemara says, ad kama. How, now the Gemara asks a very important question. How much urine is problematic? How much urine is problematic? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel calls man shemat bichin, only when the urine is moist, right? So only if literally there is actual urine that's there. V'chein Amar Rav Rachana Amar Rav Yochanan calls man shemat bichin, only if the urine is actually moist. V'chein Amar Ula calls man shemat bichin, geneva mishmei derav Amar calls man shirishuman nikar. So now they're quoting the name of Rav. Then no, even if what? Even if there's no urine moisture left. But Rishuma Nikar means that it's clear on the ground that urine was here, that there was a stream. Right? You can see, on the ground the roshan, the mark. Geneva is a name. It's a person. A person. So Amar of Yosef, Sharli Mara Ligniva. Yosef says the Kadosh Baruch Hu should forgive Geneva. So now, when it comes to excrement itself, so Rabbi Yehuda is saying the name of Rav, that once the outside of the excrement hardens, it's mutter. What does mutter mean? It's permitted for what? It's permitted to daven there. Right? Meaning once the outside of the excrement hardens, it loses its identity of excrement. And I will say the chiddush over there is that even though there's literal excrement sitting on the ground right there, you can still see that it's excrement. But once it hardened on the outside, it's mutter. Me raglai mi boy. When it comes to urine, is there even a question? Meaning what Rav is saying over here is the following: that if excrement itself, which is literally mamish right there, it hardens, it's mutter. All the more so if the urine's not there and all that's left is the roshan, is the mark on the ground, it certainly should not pose a problem for tefillah. So Abai said, why do you choose to go ahead and rely on this? Why don't you rely on this statement? But on the other hand, we have another statement of Rav. Rav says that tzoa, even if it's like cheres, even if it's like pottery, right? Even if it's like earthenware, it's asra. And I will say, what does that mean? That means that it's hardened. It's hardened. So the Gemara says, well, hechi dami tzoa kecheres. What is the case of excrement that hardens like earthenware? Amar Rav Rachan Rabbi Yochanan calls man shezarka ve'einon efreches. If you were to pick it up, throw it, and it wouldn't crumble. Now, what does that mean? So what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that, you know, you think that cheres is the most dried out part. That's not true. If excrement becomes so dried out that if you were to throw it and it were to hit, let's say, a wall, it would just totally crumble. That's not soa anymore. That is lost. That's like dirt. But if it's hardened, but you would throw it against the wall and what? And it would not crumble, that still has the identity of tsoa, even though what? Even though the outside has hardened. The Ikadami, there are others who say, Kozman Shagolala Ve'inan Frechas. Don't try this, but if you were to roll it around in your hand, right, and it were not to crumble, Haloch Lamaisa, that still has the status of Tsoa. And I must also remember, in an agricultural society, people were handling excrement all of the time because it's cheap fertilizer. So Amar Ravina. Right, it's just, it was real commodity, correct? So Amar Ravina, Havaka Imna Kamid Rav Yehuda, Midifti. Ravina says, I was one. So I'm just pointing out over here, you just see a fundamental machlokes within Rav. Two different opinions according to Rav as to at what point in time does Tsoa lose its status as Tsoa. First Bryce quoted Rav as saying that once the outside becomes hardened. Second Bryce quoting Rav, even if the outside becomes hardened, it's called Tsoa until when? Until the point that it will literally disintegrate in your hands or disintegrate if thrown against the wall.
So
the,
human
No, we saw in the Bryce, any kind of Tsoa, right? That's the Bryce said. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Ravina, Havaka imna kamid Rav Yehuda. So I gotta go. Havaka imna kamid Rav Yehuda, midifti. So Ravina said, I was once before Rav Yehuda of Difti, chazatzoa, and he saw excrement. Amar li, ayin ikaru panah olo. So Ravina said the following: that one time I was before Rav Yehuda of Difti, and we saw tzoa, and he sent me to go ahead and see. Right? Did the outside become hard or not? Hard or not? So the Gemara says, "Ikeda Amri Hachi Amarle Ayin I Mifloi Ifluye." Right? Others say the version was that Rav Yehuda of Difti said to Ravina, "Go see if it crumbled or not." So we'll say again, the two versions of the story really relate back to the two versions of Rav. At what point in time does Tsoa lose its identity as Tsoa? So my Habi Allah, okay, at the end of the day, so what's the halacha? We need to know. At what point in time does Tsoa lose its identity as Tsoa? So the Gemara says, Itmar Tsoa Kicheres. The Gemara says that if you have Tsoa that has become like earthenware, Ameimar Amar Asura Umarzutra Amar Muteres. Ameimar says it's Asur, Marzutra says it's Muter. Mutter. So when you say Asr Mutter, Asr means you can't dab in there, right? Mutter means you can dab in there. Amar Rava, Hilchasa, Tsoa, Kecheres, Asura. So Rava says that Loch is that Tsoa, even if the outside is hardened like earthenware, it's still Asr. Meaning that Tsoa is Asr until the point that it would literally crumble into dirt. And then at that point, it's considered dirt. When it comes to urine, Kozman Shemat Bichin. Urine is only problematic as long as what? There's moisture. There's moisture. Meisvei. Meirag Lain Kozman Shemat Bichin Asurin. So right, it says when it comes to urine, anytime that there is moisture, it's Asur. Nivlu O Yav Shumutarin. If it's absorbed into the ground or totally dried up, it's Mutar. My lab, Nivlu Dumya Diyavshu. Are we not saying that it's absorbed just like it dries up? Or just say absorption is similar to drying up? My Yavshu De'in Rishuma Nikar Af Nivlu De'in Rishuma Nikar. So just like when the urine dries up, so there is no trace of it on the ground. There is no trace of what was there. So to the case of Nivlu absorbed is also when there's no Roshem. So the Gemara said we can infer from that Harishuma Nikar, but if the Roshem, if the trace of urine was there, we'll say, just to clarify, what the trace means is the assumption over here is people would often urinate only in areas where there was soft dirt. For the following reason, because you wouldn't urinate in an area where there was hard dirt. Why? Because of splashback. Right? Remember, we saw on yesterday's daf, right, that splashback was problematic because you can get a very bad reputation as a kroshivcha. So that if you think about it, if you're urinating in an area where there is soft dirt, then by definition, that would leave like a little bit of a furrow. A little bit. That's what it means, Rishuma Nikar. So the Gemara says, we could learn that from there. Harishuma Nikar Asr. So it seemed to be that if the mark of the urine is still there, you couldn't dive in there either. So the Afagav the Eimat Tichin, even though what? There's no moisture. Well, it's Amech, but according to your reasoning, Eimar Resha, Kolzman Shemat Tichin Huda Asr. Well, what's it? What about the first part of the Braisa? The first part of the Braisa, Davka says it's only when there's moisture that it's Asr. Harishuma Nikar Shari, which would seem to indicate to us that if there's no moisture, even if the trace of the urine, right, the roshem, the imprint, the urine imprint is still there, it would still be mutter. So the Gemara says, Elam Yehalek Elam Ashmina. You're right, from this braisa, you can't learn out. You can't learn out a conclusion. So the Gemara says, here's what we come down to. Lema Katanoi. In reality, it's a machlokes tanoi. Klish nishbechum imenu mei raglayim, asa likros kriyashma kenegdo. If you have a utensil, like a bedpan, that is normally used for urine, even if there's no urine in there, You can't say Kriya Shema opposite it. The assumption is what? That the utensil itself has a putrid odor even if there is no urine in there. Umei raglaim atzmon shenishbechu, and urine itself that was poured out, nivlu mutter, if it's absorbed into the ground, it's mutter, lo nivlu aser, if it wasn't absorbed, it's aser. Rabbi Yossi says, kolzman shemat pichin. Rabbi Yossi says that it's only aser, as long as what? There is a moisture there. My nivlu, my lo nivlu. What does it mean it was absorbed and it wasn't absorbed? The Kamar Tana Kama. Ilema nivlu de mat pichin, lo nivlu de lo nivlu de mat pichin. See, if you want to say that absorbed means that there's no moisture, and it was not absorbed means that it was moisture. But as Rabbi Yossi lemeimar called man shemat pichin hu de aser, hari shuman nikar sharin. Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, that's what? If there was moisture, it's aser. But even if the mark of the urine was recognizable, it's still mutter. So hainu tanakama. Then Rabbi Yossi is the same thing as the tanakama. Ela nivlu de'ein rishuma nikar. Rather, it must be that what? When the case of when it was absorbed means it was absorbed, and you can't tell that the urine was there. There's no roshem. Lo nivlu, when it says that it wasn't absorbed, the rishuma nikar, that the roshem is recognizable. Va'as Rabbi Yossi le'meimar, Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, kolzman shemat pichin hu da'aser, harishuman nikar shari. And Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, that's what? Only when there's moisture is it aser, but if the mark of the urine is there, it's mutter. Lo, so the Gemara says, no, not true. De'chule alma kolzman shemat pichin hu da'aser. Here's what everybody agrees with. That if there is actual urine moisture there, which means there's actual urine there, you can't. Actually, I take that back. It does not mean there's actual urine there, because the truth is, you could reshuma matbichin means the soil is wet, even though what? There's not a pool of urine there, right? There's not. So it absorbs into the soil, but the soil itself is still wet. That's matbichin hari shuma nikar shari. But if there's just a urine mark there, it's mutter v'hacha b'tofeach amras atfiach ikabenayu. And here, interestingly enough, their machlokes is in moisture, how much moisture do you need to be problematic? In halacha, there's this concept of tofeach amras atfiach, which means that an item is moist enough that it can convey wetness or moisture to something else. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Halacha l'maisa, we paskin that for kriyas shema and tefillah purposes, the only thing that is problematic is actual urine itself. Actual urine itself. Roshem is not problematic at all, legabe kriyas shema and tefillah, as long as, now this all assumes that what? That there is no odor. So assuming that the urine has been absorbed into the ground, even if the roshem itself is nicked,